precious, Lord. Lord, it's so good to be in your house. It's so good to be here with my brothers and sisters, oh God, gathered in your name, Father. Lord, we're here to worship you. We're here to praise you. We're here to proclaim your glory. We're here to learn from you. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Speak to the deep places in our hearts. Have your way in us, Father. Lord, because we want to be more like you and less like us. Lord, we want to diminish so that Christ can grow greater in us. We want Christ to be bigger and us to be smaller, Father. Lord, so that in every situation, Jesus shines through. So in every moment, woo, Holy Spirit shines through. So in every situation, the Holy Spirit is revealed. The glory of God is seen. Strongholds are broken and cast down. And everything that raises itself up against the Lord, against his word, shall be torn down in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we praise you. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is the month of October, and in this month, we've been standing on the verse of Romans 12:2. Yep. Right? Everybody remembers that or knows that, right? Okay. So Romans 12:2, which is, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So pastor has been teaching about the importance of the renewing of our mind. So I wanted to just take a moment and talk to you about what it means to renew. Renew means having been resumed or restarted or reestablished or revived, to give fresh life or strength, to re-equip. I love that word, re-equip. You know, because in the flesh, we're equipped with a certain mindset. We're equipped with the things that we've learned, right? But we need to be re-equipped. The things that are not beneficial, we need to have those broken over our minds, over our thoughts, over our actions, and we need to be renewed or re-equipped in what is holy. We need to have the flesh gone out and the spirit renewed and made strong in us. Right? So we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 5. Hallelujah. We are going to look at the story of Naaman. How many know that story? So this is a lot of verses. It's 1 through 15. So I'm going to just give the lowdown, the rundown, okay? I'm going to just kind of tell you what's going on. But please go back. Don't take my word. Go back for and read it later. Read it tonight. Read it tomorrow morning. Go back and read it, because this is a very rich, rich story. So Naaman was the commander of the king of Syria's army. He was a great man, an honorable man in the sight of his master, because the Lord had given him victories. And I find that very interesting, that it was God who had given him victories, because it's only God who can give victories. But he, of course, didn't know that this victory came from God. He didn't know that this was a whole setup, that God had a whole plan coming into fruition. And it began with him being a victorious commander of the army, praise the Lord. He was also a mighty man of valor. But he was a leper. And in his home, he owned a little Hebrew slave girl. And I think she liked her master because she cared about him. She worried about him. And so she told her mistress, you know, if my master would only go to the prophet in Israel, he could be made whole. He could be healed. Well, this sparked the attention of her master. His wife told him all about what her girl had said. And so he went to the king. And he said, hey, I hear that if I go to Israel, there's a prophet there, and I can be healed of this cursed disease. And so the king of Syria is like, yeah, let's do this. I'm going to send a letter to that king, and he better heal you. So Naaman prepared himself the way he knew how. He took money, he took clothing, he took gifts, and he took a letter to the king of Israel, who was very unhappy about said letter, because who was he to heal or to give life or to take life? He had no authority, and he was highly upset, tore his clothes, scattered ashes on himself, and was just a miserable lot. And the prophet heard about it. So the prophet goes to him and said, hey, my king, what's wrong with you? And he tells Elisha what's going on. And so Elisha answers the king and tells the king to send Naaman to him so that he could know that there was the God, the only God, was in Israel. So that's where we're at right now. Here's some things we know about Naaman. He was a commander. He was smart. He was intelligent. He knew how to take charge. He knew how to get things done. He was a mighty man of valor. He was brave. He was strong. He was valiant. He was favored by his king. He had the king's favor. What does that mean? You've got the king's ear. You've got his blessing. He is pouring out good things all over you. He was wealthy. He was powerful. He was honorable. He was a leper. He was sick. There's no cure for what he had. No cure for his disease. He was prideful. He knew who he was. He was confident in his valor, in his strength, in his reputation, in his place at the king's right hand. He was prideful. He was a little bit of a hothead. Maybe a little bit controlled by his emotions, right? So I want to talk to you. Now we're going to jump to temptations. We'll come back to Naaman in a minute, but let's talk about temptation. What is temptation? Temptation is the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. Temptation isn't just one of the Ten Commandments if you break it. Temptation isn't just, you know, eating a whole pie instead of a piece, okay? Temptation begins as a desire, a thought, a want, a hope. Desire is an emotion, just like fear, just like worry, just like stress, just like hate, just like anger. All the things we feel are emotions. Desire is an emotion, just like unsure, just like insecurity, like doubt, like pride, like shy, timid, the feeling of not being good enough or unfit. All of these things are emotions. Let's talk about mindset. A mindset is a set of beliefs that shape how you feel and how you behave. Naaman had a mindset, and his mindset was that he was just a little bit important. Right? He was just a little bit of a big wig. He was just a little bit of something. Something special. And he believed that he deserved that. Right? He believed that he deserved the favor because he had done great things for the king. Let's talk about strongholds. Ooh. Strongholds are not a physical fortress. But rather arguments, philosophies, pretensions, or beliefs that oppose the knowledge of God. When we think we are all that, we have entered into a mindset that will become a stronghold in our lives. When we think we're right all the time, that's a stronghold. It's a mindset that turned into a stronghold. And when we think we're wrong all the time, we have set ourselves up against anybody else and against God. Right? because we're not right all the time. I'm probably right way less than I am wrong. But we want to believe we're right. We want to think we have the right of it. We want to think we know it. Hallelujah. So strongholds are rooted in pride and self. They rely on self. Praise the Lord. Okay. Strongholds lead to unhealthy thought patterns and habitual sins. Strongholds are conflicts, stances, and ideas opposed to God's intention. So when we have unforgiveness in our heart, that's a stronghold. That we have set ourselves up against the word of God. That's rebellion. Strongholds are scary things. They are so much deeper and so much stronger than what we want to realize. Strongholds relate to our thoughts, to our opinions, and to our allegiances. And do you know that sometimes we can be more faithful to ourselves than we are to God? Especially when we've been hurt. Because after we've been hurt, we say, this will never happen to me again. I will never be in this position again. I will never be used by another person. I will never be hurt. I will never be this. I will never allow this to happen. And strongholds come in. Hallelujah. So let's look. Hallelujah. So the enemy uses our emotions, the things we feel, to tempt us into sin, into disobeying the word of God. And when we step off into that realm, we step off into mindsets that become strongholds. So in Naaman's day, when the prophet of God spoke, it was as if God was speaking through the prophet, which isn't any different than today. When God speaks through his servant, he gives a prophecy, he gives a word. God is speaking through them. If it's God, which you can know the difference because you'll feel it in your spirit. I've heard tongues that were of the enemy. And the second I heard it, every hair on my body stood on end. And I went, bleh. It was not pretty. If you'd have heard it at a distance, you might not have known the difference. But in the spirit, you can feel it and you can know it. Okay? So when God uses someone to speak, it is as if he is speaking. Not that he is God, but he is a mouthpiece. He is a voice. That's it. A vessel being used. And in these days, when the prophet spoke, people listened. We should still listen, but we probably don't esteem our prophets like they used to. Okay, so in Matthew 4, 2, the word says this. Look at this. The word says, oh, we're going to skip that. Sorry. Okay, we're going to skip that too. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So, Naaman went to the prophet, and here's what happened. Hallelujah. He went to the prophet. He knocked on the door. Elijah sent his servant. Elijah told him, go tell him to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And the prophet got a little unhappy. In fact, he got a little irate. And he began this process. Well, I thought he'd come out and wave his hand and, you know, thus says the Lord over the mighty Naaman. I thought he'd do something. Not just send a servant. And then he started going on, right? Aren't there so much better rivers? The rivers in Damascus are so much better than the Jordan. It's the dish tub of all the rivers around. I don't want to go bathe in that. No, I'm not doing it. This isn't happening. Why did that happen? Because he had a mindset. He was worth more than that. He was worth the time of the prophet. He was worth the prophet making a show that he was an important man. And he got angry. He let emotion begin to rule his thoughts. He let pride, that stronghold, just rise up and take over. And he went all the way home, sick with leprosy. When this is the one shot at healing. Well, maybe he was a doubtful man. Maybe he didn't believe
he could really be healed, but, you know, we got to check it out anyway. And clearly, this is not going to happen. But he gets home, and the same little servant girl says, Master, if the prophet had asked a great deed of you, would you not have done it? So he was very motivated by what he could do himself. He was very independent. If he asked a great deed, he'd have done it. But because he didn't like how he was asked, or even what he was asked to do, he was willing to negate the healing. Because stronghold of pride, mindset of pride, got in there. How many things has God asked us to do? And we've said, oh no, I'm not doing that. Nope, find something else, Lord. Find somebody else. Nope, I'm not speaking to them. Nope, Lord, I've gone down this road before. I won't go there again, Jesus. That's a mindset of pride. Well, Lord, I thought, and how many times have we heard a word from the Lord and we rejected it because it didn't come through the person we thought it should come through, or how we thought it should come? How many times have we heard a sermon and then we thought, oh, well, that's for Sister so-and-so. Where was she? We didn't for once think that it could have been for us. That's that same pride, mindset, and stronghold. When we won't accept the word because of how it comes or because of who it comes through. God used a donkey and spoke. God can use us. He can use the best of us. He can use the worst of us. It's all up to his discretion for his purpose, that his glory be revealed. If the prophet Elisha would have gone and waved his hand and done all this stuff and said, in the name of the God of Israel, the mighty one, I proclaim you healed, who would have got the glory? Naaman could have lifted Elisha up to where he didn't belong, on a pedestal. Wasn't about Elisha. He was a voice, a mouthpiece, a servant. He was not the power. We are not the power. The power of God lives in us, yes. We wield the power of God, absolutely. But we are not the source of the power. Elisha was not the source of the power. Our source is God alone. Our source is Holy Spirit living in you and I. And he gives us the power. Jesus gave us the authority to be used by his Spirit. But the glory, woo, the glory goes to God. The glory goes to God. But Naaman listened to his servant girl. And he thought about it. He had to have pondered it. He had to have meditated on it because his mindset changed. Our mindset does not change without pondering and meditating on the word of God, meditating on what we hear. I know in that moment God was using that little girl to speak to her master, making a reality simple and clear. But master, you'd do any great deed for this healing. Why not something so unremarkable, something so untasteful and simple? And he pondered that, I believe, because he had a total change of mentality, which meant he had a total change of heart. And he went to that river, to that dirty, stinky dishpan of a river. And he didn't just get to go into the knees. He had to go all the way in. And he didn't just get to dip once. Once could have done it. But seven is the number of completion. God wasn't just bringing a healing to his body, but he was bringing a complete healing, body, soul, and mind. A complete healing, number seven, body, soul, and spirit. And as he dipped, I bet he came up and looked, oh, nothing yet. Dipped again and again and again until he came up the the seventh time, and it says his skin was new like that of a baby. His skin was beautiful. He was made whole because he had a change of mind. His mindset was changed. The stronghold of pride was broken. And that doesn't happen without pondering and thinking and meditating on the word. We have strongholds in our lives. Back to temptation. If we look in Genesis, let's see. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 now. The word says, this is talking about Jesus when he was in the desert. It said, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And then it says, now when the tempter came to him. So the tempter came to him when he was tired and when he was hungry. When we're weak, the tempter comes. Right? The tempter comes. Now we can, you know, hunger is not quite an emotion, but it's on the same level of emotion. It's something you feel very strongly, something you feel very deeply. Before menopause, before 50, I never had hangry. My husband had hangry, like from day one. I didn't know there was such a thing. I didn't know what hangry was. And I used to joke, oh my gosh, throw him a bone and come back in an hour. Give the man an hour to chew a bone and we'll be good, right? So one day we're coming home from church and we've got company coming. And I ordered pizza so that lunch would be there when I got home. My son was there at the house with three other teenagers. And I ordered the boys' favorite pizza and I ordered my favorite pizza, which is the same as Scott's favorite pizza, luckily. So we get home, right? And, like, my pizza is gone. Like, gone. They ate all of my pizza, which is not the pizza they ordered. So I'm looking at this pizza. And there's just something building up inside of me. And I close that box and I walk away. Turn around and I go back. I open it again. And I finally say, okay, where's my pizza? Well, what pizza's yours? The one you didn't ask for. Oh, that one was really good. Oh, don't you tell me that. Don't you tell me how good that pizza was. Where's my pizza? You rude, inconsiderate little brats. And my son goes, Mom, don't you mom me. I've got people coming up those stairs behind me and the good pizza's gone. And I'm hungry now. I'm really hungry. And my son gently walks to me and puts his arm around my shoulder, walks me off to the room and he said, Mama, I think you're hangry. What's hangry? He said, I think you're so hungry. You're angry. Oh, that's malarkey. I don't get angry. Oh. Well, that might just be a thing. Because now I'm realizing I'm angry. I'm like, I've never been angry over food. Hungry, but not angry over food. So he like goes and brings me some pizza. He's like, sit down, Mom. It's okay. It'll be okay, Mom. Run, boys. Run. Run. I gotta run. I sit down and start eating, and after I eat, I kind of start crying. Like, huh, what just happened? Who was that? I didn't know what hangry was. But all of a sudden, hangry arose, right? I don't know if you'd call hunger an emotion, but it is as powerful and as moving as an emotion. And so here's Christ. He's tired, which is an emotion. And he's hungry, 40 days and nights of fasting. Starving. And the tempter comes. He knows when to tempt us. He knows what's our weakness. And if you look in Genesis 3, 1 through 5, it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said,
You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Do you know what happens? The enemy comes and makes us begin to question what we know. Question what we heard. Is that exactly what we heard? Is that what was said? Maybe that wasn't. And he begins to mess with our minds and our mindset. Right? So Eve began to question and second guess what she heard and what she knew to be true. The tempter began to question her of what she heard God say, and he got her emotions involved in it. He got doubt in there and pride. Well, don't you want to be more like God? I want to be more like Jesus. I certainly do. Right? So he got her emotions wrapped up in there. Her pride. Well, you know, if you're really a great woman, don't you really want to be more like God? I mean, you know the things he knows and have all that knowledge, all that wisdom. Oh, I can hear him just going on and on. So now she starts doubting. Well, why would God say I couldn't eat that? Well, maybe that's not exactly what he said. Maybe I didn't understand him right. I mean, we've never had this come into question before. So maybe I missed it somewhere. How many times have we got a word from God? God said, do this. And then the enemy comes and says, is that really what God said? Well, I think it's what he said. Are you sure that's what you heard? I mean, would he really send you to that person to, you know, to be nice to them after all that they've said or done? Gosh, is that what I heard? Could that be? No, maybe not. And then he talks us out of what we knew to be the Lord. We hear a sermon about forgiveness. We feel conviction. Oh, I've got to forgive. I've got to forgive my dad. I've got to forgive my mom or my husband or my brother, whoever it is. I got to forgive. And then we get up there. You know, I got to go up front. Oh, if I go up front, everybody's going to look at me. They're going to think bad about me. Oh, I can't go up there. I can't. Oh, how can you ask me to do this, Lord? I can't ask for forgiveness. And he talks us right out of it. And then we stay in that mentality. We stay in that mindset. And we stay under that bondage and that stronghold. Hallelujah. The enemy's plan worked then. It worked on Adam and Eve. And worked on generations down. It worked on Naaman. He got angry at the prophet. He didn't react as the prophet didn't react as he thought he should. And so he was embarrassed and he was angry because he's important and he was mistreated and he slighted him. His own king esteems him. This is how the enemy gets into our heads. And he robs us of the word God gave us. Why does the tempter want to steal the word from you? Psalms 107:20 says this. He sent his word and he healed them. That's exactly what he did to Naaman. He sent the word to Naaman. Go dip in the waters and you will be healed. God sent his word to you and I, and that word is healing. When we meditate on it, when we ponder it, when we wade in it, when we bask in it, that word is healing to our minds and to our souls and to our bodies. And he delivered them from their destruction. Leprosy is a destruction. There's no coming back from it. But he was healed of it because he pondered the word he heard. And he changed his mindset and his mentality. And he chose obedience. When we change our mindsets, when we change our mentality through meditating on the word, healing comes. Whoo, healing comes. In Isaiah 53:5, the word says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. God's word is healing. It's power, it's life, and it brings peace to our minds and our souls and our bodies. It renews our minds. It brings transformation into our lives. The enemy doesn't want that. That's why he comes to steal the word.
Naaman, just like us, had to change his mindset so that he could receive what God had for him. He had to set aside his emotions, his fear, his doubt, his pride, and simply choose to obey regardless of the turmoil or the emotions he was feeling inside. A couple of Sundays ago, Pastor preached on Romans 12 and the importance of having our minds renewed in order that we might be transformed into all that God is making us into and into all that God has for us. We cannot allow the tempter to use our emotions to rob us, to use fear and doubt and anger and hate and pride. All these emotions are feelings that rob us of what God has for us and ultimately lead to strongholds in our life. And we can't allow our emotions to take us into strongholds. We have to seek out and search out where there are strongholds, where the enemy is holding us captive. Leprosy was the enemy, and he was holding Naaman captive, and there was no help for that. There was no cure. There was no release. There was no escape of that captive except through God. Leprosy is a disease without cure. His only answer was to hear the word of God, ponder the word, accept the word, and obey the word. How many words has God given us that we haven't obeyed? That we have allowed the strongholds, the things that we believe that are contrary to the word of God, to hold us captive. The Lord doesn't want us to have these strongholds in our life. Naaman almost lost his blessing, his healing, but praise God, good sense prevailed. Does good sense prevail in our lives? Are we prevailing against the strongholds? Are we growing? Are we learning? Are we growing? Are we learning? Or are we staying in the same spot over and over and over, year after year after year, month, week, day, hour? Are we going around the same mountain, around the same mountain, around the same mountain? Because we have a mindset that is stopping us from receiving the word of God in an area of our life. Because that's what happens. When we have a false belief that we believe that is contrary to the word of God, it becomes a stronghold and it keeps us bound and it stops us from growing and it stops us from maturing. And it stops God's glory from being revealed in us. It takes away the healing that the word of God will bring into our lives. The Lord wants us free from these things so that we can be all that he is calling us to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let the enemy steal what God has for you. When God requires something of us, like forgiveness, to be forgiven, it's not to make less of what may have happened to us, but it is to free us from what happened to us. Because when that mentality of the victim is broke over us, when we become free from that stronghold of slavery, we become free. Regardless of them, we become free. And the word of the Lord says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He wants his people to walk in freedom and obedience, where his glory is being revealed in our lives all the time. Not just, once in a while, here and there. It can be a way of living where God is being revealed through us, through our actions, through our words, daily, daily. But we have to make the choices daily, minute by minute, situation by situation. Hallelujah. Because God is for you. He loves you. He's living in you. And it's not about what someone else deserves. It's about what he's already done for you through Christ. In Jeremiah 29:10, the word says, "For thus says the Lord, After 70 years, you are completed at Babylon. I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place, their home, their place of fulfillment. It was his promise to them. Verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me. And when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity." Whatever your captivity is, wherever the enemy is holding us in a stronghold or a bondage, the Lord has already paid for that freedom. Jesus has already paid for it. The work has already been done. The promise has already been given, and we simply have to receive the word. Ponder on the word. Make a decision on the word. So about some of the ladies have heard this testimony, but I'm going to share it again. So about a month before the women's retreat, we had some bad air quality days, right? And all of a sudden, I couldn't breathe. Walking from my cabin to the house, I'm just, what is wrong? Why can't I breathe? I don't understand. And this was going on for about 3 weeks. And one Sunday after church, I was just doing my thing. It might have been a Wednesday night even. I was just doing my thing after church, and pastor just did his thing. He came up to me and he said, nope. You know what? God showed me. I see that this is an attack of the enemy. This isn't asthma so much as it is an attack of the enemy to steal your voice. Now, I listened to that word because I have believed that since Mexico when I first started having these voice issues. I knew the enemy was trying to steal my voice. He told me he was going to take my voice. And so when pastor said that, I said, yes, I believe that. And he said, well, we're going to just stop that right here and right now. And he prayed. Powerful prayer. So I received the prayer. But even more than just receiving the prayer, I received the word. I took that word and I made it mine. So I just began telling the enemy, you can't have it. The next morning I got up and my breathing was clean, free. I could breathe, right? The week before the retreat, I'm suddenly having trouble breathing. Nope, we're not going here. Nope, I'm healed. I'm free. Nope, you're not doing this. That passed within 3 days. Then I got this little cough. Nope, you're not doing this, because that's how the enemy, he uses this little cough to close my throat. And I'm like, nope. I was very careful at the retreat. Friday night, I was the speaker Friday night. I'm going to be careful. I didn't scream. I didn't shout like I wanted to. I stomped my foot a lot. I clapped my hands. I wanted to scream. Worship was amazing. The presence of God, so powerful. But I wasn't giving the enemy a place. Lost my voice Friday night. Didn't stop me. I just kept praising the Lord. I kept praising the Lord. The Monday after the retreat, I woke up, and all of a sudden, I had this cough had gone into something deeper, and a little sinus infection. I thought, nope, I'm not doing this. I'm healed. Fast forward almost a month, and I'm like, okay, I got to go to the doctor, because something's not adding up here. But here's the thing. It wasn't my lungs. I mean, it was bronchitis. But bronchitis isn't the same as asthma. And so even though I'm having this attack, I can... So at the retreat... I forgot this part. So at the retreat, I don't know what night it was, Friday night or Saturday, we're praying and Donnie's like, ho, the Lord says breathing. If you're having breathing issues, you get up here right now. We're going to pray. This is going to be broken. Well, I'm up there praying for people. I'm not up there for prayer. But I go over and I start praying for people, and I get to little Miss Marty, Martha Ann Ferguson, slap my hand on her forehead, and we begin to pray. And all of a sudden, I feel something here sucked out of my chest.
And Marty felt it suck out of her chest. And all of a sudden, I just went, "Hoo!" Woman with no voice. And then I began to laugh. And then Marty did it. And she began to laugh. And then we just had a ho, ho, hoo, ho down going on. And anointing was so powerful. It was amazing. Amazing. So I send a message to my doctor. I've got this persistent cough. It won't go away. It's getting to be an issue. It's a month, and I'm just getting exhausted from coughing. So he's like, "Oh, you got to get a chest x-ray. This is an asthma flare-up. You're in trouble. We got to get you on medication, this and this and this and this." So I go get my x-ray. There's nothing in my lungs. My lung capacity was completely clear. Nothing, nothing in my lungs. So I'm in urgent care because I'm supposed to see a doctor, you know, this cough. And she said, "Well, I see in the notes here your doctor said it's asthma." And I said, "But it's not. I know what that feels like. I have no band around my chest. I have no difficulty breathing." I said, "Look, there's no problem breathing here. This is not what it used to be. This is not the same." And she goes, "Well, let me listen. That'll..." She listens. She goes, "Oh, you're right. This isn't asthma at all. I told you." She said, "Well, you've got good old-fashioned bronchitis." I haven't had bronchitis in over 20 years because the asthma took over everything. I have no lung issue. They put me on cough medicine. They put me on an antibiotic for a sinus infection. But here's the thing. I haven't been able to get a sinus infection or a cough for about 12 to 15 years without it ending up with breathing issues and in the urgent care on breathing machines and all kinds of things. And that didn't happen. It didn't happen because I received the word. I mean, I received it deep down in to me. It became revelation. It became healing. And yes, I'm standing before you having had this bronchitis, but it wasn't asthma. It wasn't asthma. It's still not asthma. That is such a joy to me. I can't even tell you how big that is to not have it go there on me. In this time of the year, it didn't go there. My lungs stayed strong and healthy and whole because of the word God spoke to me through Pastor. I received that word. So many times when God speaks to us, he gives us a word through somebody. It's not necessarily a booming voice that speaks into our ear. Sometimes it's a simple word. "Hey, he's trying to steal your voice. We're going to put a stop to this. It's not happening." But I received it. How many times do we hear the word and then we reject it because it didn't come how we thought it should, just like Naaman? But he took the encouragement of his slave girl and he began to ponder that word. And he began to think on that word until he began to have an attitude change. And he had a mindset change. And he had a heart change. And then he became obedient. And the healing came. What has God said to you? What has he spoke to you? Whether it came through the Bible and you reading it, or whether it came through a servant, what has he spoke to you that the enemy is trying to keep you bound and keep you under? A stronghold. Captivity to the enemy robs us. Captivity to the enemy is slavery. But God has a plan for you and me, and it's called salvation through Christ Jesus. God always has a plan in place to save his people. We are his people. His plans for us are to bless us and not to harm us. Thoughts of peace and not evil. But we have to receive the word. We have to receive the word. We have to accept the word. We have to believe the word. We have to trust the word. We have to ponder it and think on it. I can't tell you, since Pastor prayed for me, How many times I've laid in bed and went, my lungs are clean. My lungs are free. I'm free. How many times walking up to my cabin, I can breathe. It's cold. It's damp. And I don't care. My lungs are good. We have to own the Word of God. He sent His Word to you and I so that we might be free from bondage and strongholds. But unless we receive it, unless we're transformed through pondering on it and accepting it, we're going to stay in that same place. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. But I want better for me. I want to be better for Him. I want Him to be revealed in everything I do and in everything I say. I want my grands to know Jesus because they knew me. I want my son-in-law to see Jesus because he sees me. I want my husband to see Jesus in me. I want the world to see Jesus in me. And that means I must become less and He must become bigger. And I can only become less through meditating on the Word of God and allowing change to come, hearing the Word, accepting the Word, trusting the Word, believing the Word, receiving the Word. Don't let the enemy steal your Word through your emotions or through your mindset, because we have an incorrect mindset, because we think, you know, we're more important than we are. Because we think we're better than the next guy sitting beside us. Or because we think somehow we have less sin. Or somehow, you know, Christ died for me so much more than for them. Because we all have sin. But we get to choose whether we continue to live in that sin or whether we have healing from the strongholds, whether we get set free. I don't know what your stronghold is. I don't know what areas you are struggling with your walk, struggling with life, struggling with captivity, but the Lord knows. And it doesn't matter to Him what that area is. What matters to Him is that you receive healing. That we don't stay in that place. So if you're watching tonight and you know you're struggling, if you're struggling with addiction, that's a stronghold. Believe it or not, sin and disease is a stronghold. If you're struggling with anger and unforgiveness, those are strongholds. Maybe you're struggling with pride. Or maybe your struggle is that you're just not enough. Doesn't matter. Whatever the stronghold is, the Lord is here to tell you. Those are lies. Those are lies of the enemy. Slavery to the enemy. And those are how he keeps you in bondage. Repeatedly telling you what you might have heard as a child, or repeatedly telling you what maybe someone else said, or maybe something you felt, and you don't even know why you felt it. But I'm here to tell you the Word. The Lord is sending His Word to you that you can be free. We are not called to slavery. We are called to freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So wherever you are, whatever you're struggling with, we're going to just say a prayer right now. And just pray, just pray. As I pray. And you lift up the area where you're struggling. And you release it to the Lord. And then you ask Him to send you His Word over that area. And then you receive it. Precious Heavenly Father. Lord, we just ask You to move, to reveal in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, the strongholds, the areas where the enemy holds us captive, where You want to see us set free, Lord, we come against those strongholds. We bind addiction. We bind sickness and disease. We bind pride. Lord, we bind timidity, oh God. Lord, we bind self-destruction in the name of Jesus. We bind anger. We bind hatred. We bind bigotry in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to send your word. Your word says that by his stripes we are healed. Your word says that you sent your word and you healed our disease and you saved us from destruction. Your word says that love covers a multitude of sin. Your word says forgive that you might be forgiven. Your word says pride comes before the fall. Lord, work in our lives in these areas, Father, for your glory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you've tuned in with us tonight, thank you for being present. Thank you for being here. God bless you. We appreciate you, and we hope to see you.